Crosby again, wrote so many wonderful poems, and she wrote one that we're not really too familiar with, I don't think, and I think it's based on Psalm 136. You remember that psalm because it's what we call an antiphonal psalm. One side sings one thing, one side sings another thing. And it goes like this. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. And the poem she wrote is very reminiscent of that. And the song we're going to sing is called His Mercy Endureth Forever.
For that.
Greatly appreciate it. Let's take our Bibles and go to the book of James. Would you go to James? We're not going to stay here in James, but a verse that I want you to see. James chapter 5. Again, thank you guys for that. Praise the Lord for his mercy that endureth forever. Are you thankful for God's mercy? Where would we be if it weren't for God's mercy? We have his grace. He's given to us a lot. We have his mercy that he has withheld a lot. A lot of times we don't like to be withheld from things, but in this case, it's a tremendous thing because what we deserve is eternal hellfire, and he is withholding us from that. And so his mercy endureth forever. Very grateful. James chapter 5 and verse 16. You probably know this verse, and it's an interesting thought. James tells us in the second part of the verse, just a part of the verse, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Okay, those two words there in the English, effectual and fervent, they're actually one Greek word there, and that is a word that talks about energy, okay? It's our energy towards in prayer. And of this righteous person, this one that is righteous in Christ, their energized prayer, their fervency and their prayer avails much. But we also know in the Word of God, there's an amount of energy that we put to prayer. And by the way, if we want God to do something, God's Word tells us through this verse in James chapter 5, verse 16, that we ought to put a lot of energy to it. What does it say? What's the result there? Look down at the verse. What does it say about an energized prayer? It availeth much, right? That means that it works. God wants us. Sometimes we're so passive and casual in our prayer because we don't want to, you know, we don't know what's right, and so we don't want to push God on it. And you're going to see this morning that what we're going to look at, that we need to change that mentality. We need to take God at His word and who He is. But we pray fervently, and what does it say? It availeth much. I don't know what you're praying for today. It could be, as I look across the room, there are a lot of health needs, health issues that we face. Won't it be a wonderful day when we get to go to meet the Lord and to be with Him forever, and He's going to change our bodies? We're going to have a new body. It's going to be a tremendous thing that we don't have to deal with this very vulnerable and aching and problematic body that we have right now. It's going to be changed. And so it's going to be different. But many of you are in prayer for health issues, physical things that you're going through. And I'm going to just say, you know, a fervency in prayer avails much with those kind of things. In fact, the context would even tell us there's some people that are struggling with some physical things, probably some spiritual things. Maybe the issue is spiritual. Maybe there's some things in your life that you have been trying to get over for years and to get victory in. Can I tell you that James chapter 5, verse 16 tells us that this energized prayer avails much. It works. It's powerful. You know, but there's other issues. There's emotional and social things that you will go through, maybe relationship things, things at work, things that you're going through. Can I tell you that the effectual and fervent prayer, that's that prayer that just keeps going back to the Lord and going back to the Lord in energy and strength and power, expecting God to do great things, that prayer avails much. And so whatever you're praying about today, whatever you're going through, it could be financial, whatever you're praying for, seeing God's provisions, whatever you're praying for, God says that effectual and fervent, that energized prayer, that prayer that shows that they mean something, they're asking God to do a work. I would just encourage you to continue on in prayer. Keep going. Keep going in prayer. And as I look across the room, I know some of the things that some of you are going through, not everybody. And I just want to look at you, and I almost contemplated, you know, naming you by name and saying, keep praying for that. Pray hard for that. Keep going in that prayer. Don't give up. Use this prayer that avails much. And God told us. He gave us the clue. He said, listen, energized prayer works. Keep praying. Keep doing that work. And sometimes it's work, isn't it? It's work. We get tired of that kind of prayer. It doesn't make sense why we do, but it's a tiring process. And it's tiring, I think, because of this, because you got to keep going without seeing results sometimes for a while. And you get weary of it. And God says, be not weary in well-doing, for ye shall reap if ye faint not. You see that energy right there? Keep going, keep going. Don't stop. And I want to encourage you, don't stop. But there's more to the energized prayer. And this morning we are going to look at prayer a little bit, but there's more to it than that. Go to John chapter 14 and verse 13, the Gospel of John, not 1 John. Of course, there's no 14 chapters in 1 John, but go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14 and verse 13. And there's a key phrase in there, four words that tells us something about prayer. It needs to be an energized prayer, but it needs to be a prayer in what? Anybody want to venture to pick those four words that are in John 14, 13? If ye do what? Ask in my name. And who's my name? It's not Jim's name. Whose name? Jesus' name. Now, what does that mean that we ask in his name? Now, what do we do at the end of a lot of our prayers? What do we have a habit? And I will say that. I think it's a good thing to do, but what do we have a habit of saying? In Jesus' name we pray. Do we really know what that means? Is it just, you know, something that we tag on? So a lot of times we tag onto the end of our prayer, but what's the point of in Jesus' name? I'll just give you a very quick, I'm not preaching on it this morning, but I'll just give you a quick synopsis of what that means. It's just saying, listen, there's other places in the scripture that talk about praying according to his will. Very simply put, we need to be praying for the things that Jesus can put his name on or stamp of approval on. In other words, we don't always know that certain things are God's will. Now, we can trust that God's going to do things that are according. That means they're in tune with who God is. They make sense with who the person of Christ is. We are praying according to who he is. It's not inconsistent. You know, for you to be praying for something that's not godly, something that you don't know to be, Jesus could endorse that, praying in his name. I don't know. Some of you say, well, I don't know if this is what God wants. And that's why we continue. That's why we pray. That's why we grow closer to the Lord. By the way, the more closer to the Lord you get through his word, the better you'll know how to pray. Why do some people just really seem to flourish in prayer? And I would suggest to you that they have a close relationship and walk with God. And they, when you get to know who God is, then you know what kind of things that God's name is associated with. God would be pleased with this. There's a lot of things that we know, but there's a number of things we don't know. Get closer to the Lord. And so we need to ask according to his name. Now, we're going to go to Exodus chapter 32. Before you turn there, we're going to see Moses praying before an almighty God. And I would suggest to you that it was fervent prayer, effectual and fervent prayer. He gave power. I mean, he was serious about what he was praying for. But this morning, I would say more than the effectual and fervency in his prayer, it was in tune with God. And here's what we're going to look at this morning is how can we have that prayer of a righteous man that is in tune with God, that his stamp of his name is on it. I believe Moses did not have the scriptures to learn about the ins and outs of prayer. But he prayed some things before an almighty God that I think that we can learn from this morning. And so go to Exodus chapter 32. And I hope that this will help you as you go to God in prayer. Here's a question. I know you're turning. I don't know if you can multitask and turn to... I can't, so I wouldn't. If you're like me, get there and then listen, okay? Maybe I should just let you get there. I know you're probably none of you like me, but I am not a multitasker. I can do some dangerous things. My wife will say, can you watch the pot, on the stove while no, don't you dare do that because I'll burn the house down. I will not watch the pot. Now, I don't tell her that. I go like this, I'm on the phone. I'll be like, yep, I got it. And as soon as I go like this and put my thumb down, I'm back in my conversation and I'm not watching that pot. And so I cannot multitask. I don't know how you are with that. It has nothing to do with the message today. I gave you a place to go and then I was going to have you listen, okay? I don't even remember what I was going to say. So, see, that tells you I can't multitask. Exodus chapter 32. What is going on in Exodus chapter 32? The golden calf, and we looked at that last week, right? Would you say that was a good thing or a bad thing? Bad situation, right? Moses delayed. We looked at delay last week, and Moses delayed. God delayed, and he was up there. And where is our leader? What has he brought us, into this wilderness to just die? And where is he at? And Aaron, make us do something. And Aaron makes them a golden calf, and they melt the earrings and the jewelry and all this stuff, and they make a calf, and they do wicked things there, and then, of course, Moses finds out about that. That's really where we're at. And you can imagine what your prayer would be if you would be Moses. A lot of times we find ourselves really struggling with people, and my question is how do you pray? How do you pray about people, about situations that are very tough. Now, Moses, I want you to think just for a moment. Moses is up there just in a mountaintop, literal mountaintop experience with God, and God is blessing the people by giving them the law. And I know you look at that and say the law was no good, but the law was wonderful to point us to Christ. We needed the law. We needed to see that it cannot be our works. We cannot earn it. We cannot do all these things. Praise the Lord for Jesus Christ, right? Are you glad that Jesus Christ went to the cross? Glad that you don't have to live by the law any longer? I'm very grateful for that. But we had to see what the law would do and what it could not do. And we are, and by the way, who's the fault of the law? It's us, okay? It wasn't the law's fault. It wasn't God's fault. It's we are incapable and unwilling to abide according to the law. And so it wasn't the law that was weak. It is us that we are weak, and we needed Jesus Christ. And so God is graciously giving the law to Moses for the people, for us, even today, even though that we don't have to live by the law. He's given the law to the people. He's given the law. God was doing good. He was being gracious to his people. And while he was doing that, they were down there playing in a very wicked way. Now Moses is aware of, he hears about what's going on. And he makes his way down, and he's going to confront these people and talk to these people. And then he's going to turn to the Lord, and I wonder what his prayer would sound like. Would it be a prayer like mine sometimes, or would it be a prayer of a righteous man? I'll tell you what, this week when I read through this passage and read Moses' response to people that were hurtful, harming, wicked, just flat out wrong, I'm very humbled to look and follow Moses and see what a righteous man that knew how to pray. So, what's the best way to go through this? Let's look here. We're in Exodus chapter 32. And of course we have the story and what takes place. Look at verse 7. And the Lord said to Moses, "Go, get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed thereunto and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." And the Lord said unto Moses, "I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation." Now those were God's words. God said, "Listen, let me alone so that I can show these people what they're doing." Now, I'm going to just mention to you here, you're going to see here we see God's anger against what the people are doing. And in the end, you're going to look down at verse 14. I'm just going to kind of set the record straight with this. Look at verse 14. Notice what it says. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. Now that's an interesting statement. You say, wow, the Lord repented? That word repented means he changed. He did an about face. He was headed this way and he changed and did this. What we need to understand when we look at this, we know that God knows everything, and he knew everything about these people. He knew what would happen. He knew why it was happening, and he had a plan all along. And I suggest to you, and what the difference was, we see in the middle of this set, these sets of verses here, we see the prayer of Moses. Now, does God tell us that prayer makes a difference? Yes. Who ordained that we pray for things? God did. God wants us to pray, and he says that the prayer avails much. But friend, I want to tell you something. It's not as though that the prayer itself is the thing that does it. God is the one that does it. And listen to this, when we pray, God is not taking the prayer so that something can happen. He's using it to change us. He's making a difference in our lives. So don't for a moment think that we can change God's mind We are not changing God's mind. We are simply trying to get in tune with what God's mind is. We are meeting God on His side of the road. How many times have we prayed trying to get God on our side? God, I really want this. I really want to do this. God, would you be willing to come over here? Folks, listen, that is not what we are trying to do. We ought not be doing in prayer. What we ought to be doing in prayer, as we go to God and we learn and He speaks back to us, that we discover where God is at, and then we align ourselves with where God is at. And we're praying for the things that God wants. And we get them because we're in tune. It's in His name. And that's what God did not change His mind. Okay? God didn't just like, oh yeah, okay, Moses, yeah, you're right. What am I thinking? No, that's not God. God had in mind all along what He was doing, and we see Him working, and He tells Moses, He says, listen, I'm hot against these people. And what He was doing is He was working in Moses' heart. And I'm so glad that Moses responded with some effectual and fervent and righteous prayer. And so I want to invite you to look at this prayer, and we're going to look at some verses. There's going to be some verses outside of this little window that we're going to look at. But how did Moses respond? Now, just think just for a moment before we look into this passage. You know, you're here, you're up with God. You're Moses, and you're up, and God is giving you some tremendous things. You think the people are fine. Then you find out all that's going on down the mountain, and then you hear from God. And God, your master, is like, Moses, look at those people. Now, when we are under leadership, and yet we are leadership over people, when our leadership comes down on us, what do we tend to do? Now, think of a hierarchy. You've got a main boss, you're under them, but you've got people under you. When your boss comes to you about your people, what's the natural tendency? Because you're taking it, right? You're taking it from your boss, and that's tough. You take it. But as soon as your boss turns his back, what are we doing? Right? Isn't that what we do? That's natural, right? Listen, I just had to pay for what you're doing. And we come down hard. So this is where Moses is at. He sees the hot wrath of God on the people that Moses is in charge of. And so what is his, what's he going to do? Now, our tendency would be to, you know, listen, we're going to go to those people and we're going to let them have it. Or we're going to do what Moses does. Now, Moses is not happy with the people. In fact, we're going to see some of that come out. What do we know that Moses does here later? What does he do with the Ten Commandments? You know, I mean, he's not happy and he's not playing around with this. But I'm amazed at his prayer. All right, so I've said enough about this. Let's jump right into it. Look at verse 11. And we've got just a few points this morning that I want you to see before we're out of here. Look at verse 11. And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, and I just, boy, we get ready. What's Moses going to say here? Boy, he's going to pray wrath upon these people. But he says, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Jump down to verse 32. I know that this is out of the little window, but it's still the same story that's going on. Notice what Moses says, and he's speaking to the Lord again here. You see in verse 31, and Moses returned unto the Lord, okay? Oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin. Stop right there. If thou wilt forgive their sin, rather than imprecatory prayer. Do you know what imprecatory prayer is? You actually see it a lot in the Psalms. David praying for the heathen, and it's very interesting that his prayers in Psalm. And have you, do you know what I'm talking? Have I clued you in a little bit? Did you say the Psalms, David praying for the enemies? Sometimes, what do you read in that? God, smash the enemy, right? God, take care of those people that are blaspheming your name. God, wipe them out. Do this and do. I mean, that's what we call an imprecatory prayer. These are prayers against the offender. That's a simple way to put it, okay? And we don't really use that word a lot, but imprecatory prayer. If you hear somebody say that, it's just a fancy word for prayers against people that offend. God, wipe them out. Take care of them. Make them miserable for what they're doing. Question: have you ever prayed an imprecatory prayer concerning someone? I have. God, that person doesn't know what they're doing. Do they realize? God, would you please? It's interesting, and I'm not going to make a huge case on this, but it's interesting we find those in the Old Testament, but we don't find them in the New. What, by the way, what do we find in the New? Oh God, wilt thou forgive their sin? Do you remember Stephen? Back in Acts, or later in Acts, chapter 7. And Stephen, you know, is a man of God. And what's happening to Stephen in the last few verses of chapter 7 of Acts? Remember what's happening? He's getting stoned. How many of you would like to be stoned? Well, that sounds horrible. I know I've got a demented mind. I've imagined certain ways in which would be horrible to die. You know, like, boy, I hope it's not that way. I hope it's not that way. Stoning does not sound like a good one. I don't know what's good. Going in your sleep, I guess. But stoning, can you imagine? Can you imagine standing there and people just taking rocks and, you know, just getting hit, wham, wham, you know? And imagine what kind of prayers that I would be praying towards those people. Imprecatory. Okay, God, turn this rock around and hit that guy. What does Stephen pray? You remember? I'll read for you. Acts chapter 7, verses 59 and 60. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. He died. Lay not this sin to their charge. I don't know about you, but that's tough. Wow, the stone's coming. Right? It's interesting that I think Stephen patterned his prayer after Jesus Christ. We go back a few books into the book of Luke, chapter 23 and verse 34. Then said Jesus, and what did Jesus say when he was being crucified on the cross? You remember what he said? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Amazing response. Back to the point. Rather than imprecatory prayer against offenders, Moses offered intercessory prayer concerning others. Wow. Kind of amazing. I mean, we see, first of all, you know, he's defending and protecting even God's leadership here. You go back to verse 11, you know, he says to God, you know, why doth thy wrath wax hot against the people which thou hast, you know, brought forth out of the land of Egypt? You know, down in verse 32, he says, you know, he says, forgive these people. Intercessory prayer. I want you to think to the people that are stoning you today. And again, you're probably not being stoned, but the people that hurt you, the people that say things against you, the people that are hurting you day in and day out, the people that are mean to you, the people that take advantage of your situation, the people that do things against you. You know, it could be people that really are against you, but sometimes it's people that are very close to us, that continually say things to us that hurt us over and over and over. It could be people inside the home that maybe are just joking and cracking jokes about you and the way you do certain things, and that after a while they begin to feel like stones that are coming. What is your attitude towards these people? Oftentimes, we will offer imprecatory prayers. God, would you please let that person know what they're doing? Would you have them stop? Would you have them move away? Would you have them die? Would you just get them out of my life? Rather, Moses, I'm very intrigued with Moses' response. You would have thought that Moses said, "Would God, would you just take them away? I'm tired of these people. We've been in the wilderness for just a couple months, and I can't stand it any longer. These people, every time I've turned around, every time I've given them, every time you've given them anything, have gone against." And by the way, we know even more. This is just the start, isn't it? This is just the start of these people's 40 years of wickedness. We're only a couple months into it. And Moses is here praying. And he doesn't know all what's going to come, but Moses is here. And he's saying, "Lord, would you lay not the sin to their charge? God, would you forgive them?" I want to encourage you. You know, I don't know who it is and what it is in your life, people that are against you and opposed to you, but I want to encourage you. The prayer of a righteous man that avails much is not just a powerful prayer, but God, it is a prayer for people. There are many times in my life when I found myself in this situation where I just wanted to pray the lightning power of God on somebody. Knowing truth, not feeling. Because the feelings were, well, they were there, but they were negative feelings. But knowing truth, and it was hard to do, turning the prayer and deciding, "God, would you please, you know, this person must be going through a lot. God, would you help them?" I'll tell you what, it will change your spirit. It will change your heart. Rather than look at the misery of that, what that person is doing to you, look at them and see a hurting person and say, "They must be going through some miserable things for them to be so miserable." Do you realize that the reason why people act the way they act is because they're hurt and they're going through things? They have been damaged. They've been damaged. They've been hurt. They've gone through things that have turned them away, and they're struggling. Rather than get upset at it, we ought to feel sorry for them. I want you to think about that person that's in your life. We have to feel sorry for them. That's the heart behind intercessory prayer. I'm interceding for them. You see the difference? Intercessory prayer is for a person. Imprecatory prayer is against them. You get it? Is that easy to do? It's not. But I'm telling you, my friend, that's the prayer of a righteous man. God, that individual must, they're going through tough times, and we are not letting them off the hook. Listen, it is not our job to put someone on the hook or let them off. Whose job is that? God's. Our job is to pray for those people. Rather than imprecatory prayer, we ought to have intercessory prayer. I remember Abraham pleading for Lot in those cities of the plain, right? Do you remember Lot's prayer back in the book of Genesis chapter 18? What was his prayer? "God, would you be willing to spare them?" And he brings it from 50 all the way down to almost nothing, right? See, that's the heart. That's the heart that we need to pray for. God, would you spare? Not God, would you slay? God, would you spare? I want to encourage you today about Moses' prayer. Intercessory prayer. Let's look at verse 12. Look at verse 12. "Wherefore," now listen as Moses prays. Same prayer. He's just said, you know, think about this, God, as if God has to think about it, but he's reminding God about that. Wherefore should the Egyptians speak? Now, he's thinking here. Moses is thinking about this whole testimony. He says, wherefore should the Egyptians, who were the Egyptians? These were the people that they just got released and delivered from, right? So he says, wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Now, does that sound... What is Moses saying there? It's going to be a bad testimony, right? If God, you slay them, what's Egypt going to say? Good God or bad God? Bad God. Now, is Moses informing God of truth that God did not know? No, okay? God is not like, oh yeah, good point, Moses. But you know what he's doing? He's turning Moses' heart. And he's helping Moses to see some things. And I'll tell you what, the people are going to see a heart that's towards them. I know they're going to see some stones break. They're going to see some things. But I'll tell you what, if they could read Moses' response, it would be very helpful for them. Not a good testimony to Egypt. So he says, turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Rather than accusatory prayer, Moses offers honorary prayer. And this is to God. Now get this. God is going to get his honor. But rather than condemn God, he says, listen, God, I don't want your name to be ruined. I want your name to be honored. My friend, I want to tell you something. That is a valid prayer that we should be praying when we pray for things. God, if this takes place, I don't see the glory. Now, the amazing thing about God is God can get glory out of a lot of things that we can't even imagine, right? God can get glory out of bad things. He has a way of doing that. And only God can do that. God will get his glory. But as we look on this level that we talked about last week, as we see things, God, this is the situation which he knows. God, I'm praying honor upon your name. I want my family. I want my kids to see your glory. I want them to see a good God. God, I want this church to see an amazing God. God, I don't want them to see, you know, if you don't do this, then they could take this and they could throw you away and not want you. God, I want my neighbors to see an amazing God. The neighbors that you've been witnessing to, I want my neighbors to see an amazing work. God, I want the testimony of the people at work. I want to be able to tell them how good of a God you are and not, well, there they are, just left for nothing. Now, God already knows this, but Moses is praying a godly prayer, and he's saying, God, I don't want to see your name in the dirt. I want to see your name glorified. That's the kind of prayer that we need to be praying. God, would you do this for your sake? God, would you do this for their sake? God, would you do this for all their sake? God, that your name would be glorified. We've got to have a good story. Now, is God up there thinking, yeah, you're right? No, God is not up there, yeah, you're right. God is saying, I like that prayer. You remember the effectual, fervent prayer? And we keep praying for that. We keep praying for that, and he says, I'm going to do that. Not because, oh yeah, you've got a good point that I never thought of, but he's honoring that prayer. He's taken that prayer and he says, you know what? That is right, and I'm going to do that. As you have prayed for it, I am going to make my name big. Is that the kind of a prayer that's consistent with the name of Jesus? Does God's name, should it be big in people's eyes? What's the answer? Yes! Should that be the kind of prayer that we pray then? Yes! Not prayers that are going to not be big to anybody. You know, some of us have a fault of praying so passive and so little. Because we don't want to push God. We don't want to, but really what we're doing is we're not willing for God to look big and look strong and look mighty. We need to pray. We need to pray effectually and fervently. We need to pray, not condemning many of us. God, why did you put us in this situation? God, why did you do this? If you would have just done that, this would have all been better. I don't understand why you did it. Rather than blame, rather than point his finger at God and say, God, you got us into this mess. Now take us out. He's not blaming anything. Moses is saying, God, I care about your name. My friend, I want to tell you something. Many times we find ourselves questioning God and saying, God, what are you doing? Rather, we ought to be saying, God, I don't know what you're doing, but I care about your name, and I really want you to look good to everybody around me. And you ought to do it with energy. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man does what? It avails much. Circumstances in your life, health needs, physical needs, emotional needs, spiritual needs, financial needs. I want to tell you something. You ought to be praying. When I say big, I'm not saying that you got to be praying for, you know, millions and millions of dollars. I'm not, that does not necessarily equate praying big. Honestly, we don't even know what equates being big except for the name of God be honored and glorified. And God knows how to do that. And that's what Moses does. He says, God, I don't know what you're going to do, but I want one thing. You got to have a good testament. I want your name. God honors that kind of prayer. That's a prayer of a righteous man, okay? So, we want to pray interceding prayers, right? We don't want to, you know, pray imprecatory prayers. We want to pray interceding for people, not against people. We want to pray honorary prayers, that God would be honored, not point fingers. Okay, I think you got those. Let's go to the third. Let's look at verse 13 now. He brings up another point. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants. That would be Jacob, Israel. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Israel. Thy servants to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and saidst unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. What's the third thing that he brings up? He's remembering what? God's promise, what he said. Rather than get involved in passive prayer, and I just dealt with that just a moment, but passive prayer, prayer that does not hold God to his word. Do you realize that some people are scared to death to be bold in their prayers? Folks, I'm going to tell you something. If it's God's character, if it's what he said, then you can be absolutely as bold as anything about it. Because your boldness is not in yourself. Your boldness is in his character. It's who he is. Should we be bold in God's character? What do you think? Should we be passive about God's character? When I say passive, I'm not talking about so much I'm talking about just whatever. You know, my fear is we've got to take the example of Christ when he was there in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine, Lord, be done. But some of us use that as an excuse to pray weak prayers. Amen. That's good. That's right. Amen. Some of us are so weak in our prayers. Some of us are so weak and say, God, we don't know anything. When God has said in his word of what he wants. God, I don't know. When it comes to providing, we say, I don't know. I don't know, God. You don't need to do anything for us. We'll just live down here. And God says that I'll meet your needs. So why would we be so weak in our prayers? And we say, God, I don't know if you want to meet. You know, I don't know if you want this for us. I don't know if you... No, you do also know. God said that he was Jehovah Jireh, and he said that he would provide, and he's going to do it. Then you ought to stand on that and say, God, this is who you are, and I'm claiming who you are. That does not confront God. That glorifies God. That honors God. That magnifies God.
Moses offered bold, expectant prayer. Passive prayer is easy. Do you know what I mean when I say that? Passive prayer is easy. You know why it's easy? Because it's like we don't want to test it to see if it will fail. Now, we need to be bold in what God has promised and said, okay, I can't be bold, you know, if I want a new hunting rifle or something like that, I can't be bold in that and say, God, you said that you would provide for my needs and I need this. No. But I can tell you one thing. If I'm saying, God, you promised to meet the needs of my family, put food on the table, to provide a home or whatever like that, I can trust God that he's going to do it because God said he would. I can take it to the Lord and I can leave it right there and I can be bold with that prayer. See, passive prayer is very easy. Lord, I don't know what you want and I'm not going to pray specific. I'm not going to pray bold. I'm not going to pray anything. Just you do what you want to do. And we think that we're patterning it after Jesus. And I submit to you that was not Jesus' pattern. Yes, it's nevertheless not my will, but thine, Lord, be done as we pray boldly and say, but God, I don't know everything. You do. You do it. But the best I know is where you have placed the light in my life. This is the best thing I know. I am praying that you would fulfill yourself and that you would do, that you would live out your name by who you are. My friends, God gets glory from that. It's time that we stop praying these weak little prayers and be bold in what we pray. So, not imprecatory prayers, rather intercessory prayers. Not accusatory prayers, but rather honorary prayers. Not passive prayers, but bold, expectant prayers. And lastly, look down at verse 32. He goes back to God again. Again, he confronts the people. He goes back to God, and we find ourselves in verse chapter 32 of verse 32. We already read it. We read the first part of it. He's praying to God again. He said, yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, notice what he says next, and if not, God, if you don't see it right to forgive their sin, if for some reason there's something that I'm missing that I don't know, it seems like it would be right. God, forgive them. But if for some reason it is not the right thing, what does he request? What does he request? Wow, it's kind of amazing. If for some reason, blot me, I pray thee, I beg thee, I'm petitioning to you, God, blot me out of thy book which thou hast written. Lastly, rather than selfish prayer that focuses on us and what we will get, Moses offered sacrificial prayer. Sacrifice. God, put it on me. God, would you let me go through it? No, not that person. Would you please let me take it? What can I do? Where can I be? That's a prayer of a righteous man that avails much. Taking it yourself. You see, very selfish prayer is very natural, isn't it? What do we do all day long? We pray for things that we need, right? What I want, what we need. God, help me. I'm doing this, God. And those are, you know, we are ourselves. We pray for things for ourselves. It's very natural. But it tends to be very unnatural to be sacrificial. Lord, you have me going through this, but my bigger prayer is that you would help them today. And God, if I need to take a step back and let them, well, Lord, then please, I'll be willing to do that. God, it's not about me, it's about them, it's about you. See, these are Christ-like prayers. Sacrificial prayer is very much like Christ. So how is it that you pray for people that are tough in your life, Do you find yourself praying imprecatory prayers? God, would you please just let this person have it? God, would you take them away? Would you remove them? Would you please show them what they're doing? Is that your prayer, or is it, God, have mercy upon them. Forgive them. Are your prayers accusatory? You go to God and say, God, what are you doing? Or are they honorary prayers? God, I just care that your name be magnified. Are your prayers passive, or are they bold? God, I'm taking you at your word. You said in your word that you would do this. And I'm claiming your word, and I'm claiming your character. I'm claiming your promises, because this is what you said. Are your prayers very self-focused, always thinking about you? Or are your prayers like Christ and willing to take the blame, the penalty, the struggle for yourself, for the sake of them and the sake of the Lord? Yeah, James tells us the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. John tells us that we ask in his name or according to his will, he heareth us. Moses gives us an amazing example in much adversity to know how to pray. To pray a righteous prayer. Father, would you please help us to learn how to pray for people? God, would you convict us, burden us? Lord, give us a heart to care for people. Give us words when we'd have no feeling of it. God, give us words. Help us to have sacrifice. God, would you help us? We care about you and your name and your honor. God, help us with these things. Burden us. Thank you for what you've taught us in the scriptures today. In Jesus' name, amen.